Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Katie Britton. Jessica Anthony and Rodrigo Corral's novel, Chopsticks, is an inventive, interactive novel that will have readers flipping through the pages as they try to make sense of a young piano prodigy's mental meltdown. In this unique and compelling piece, they immerse readers in Glory's life and beautifully weave words with photographs and paintings.
Well, you know, I was contacted by my agent first because he had actually been having lunch with Rodrigo and the editor of Penguin Razorbill, Ben Schrank, and they had been discussing the fact that they wanted to write, or I should say create, a young adult book told through objects and images. But they didn't have a writer for the story. And so my agent was there, you know, having lunch with them, and he said, well, I have a writer who has just finished her first novel. Why don't I send you her novel, and if you like it, she might be interested. And so that's what happened. My agent sent Rodrigo and Ben The Convalescent, my first novel, and they read it, and they contacted me and asked me for a few ideas for the sort of story that I might write, you know, if I were given the project. And so Chopsticks was one of those proposals.
It's so interesting on so many levels. It's a very creative book, and it's predominantly pictures in like a scrapbook that has been put together, but The words that are on the page are just, they're so powerful because they say just as much as the pictures.
Well, you know, that's something that we were really reaching for, both in text and an image. We wanted to create an atmosphere on the page, and in order to do that in a way that made sense to the both of us, we really tried to exercise restraint, because one of the wonderful things about writing a book like this is that, you know, working an image gives you all of these sorts of opportunities, you know, opportunities to play with sound and with pictures. This is also, of course, an app that you can buy on, you know, for an iPad or an iPhone. And so, there, you know, the book really can come alive in the multimedia. And I think it's tempting as a creator of something like this to really, you know, to bring the sort of, you know, the music and the images to life in a way that's, you know, that people have never seen before. But Rodrigo and I felt very strongly that we wanted to just have the story itself be the driving force of the book. We wanted the readers to really care about the characters and to only give the images and the words that we felt were the most essential to revealing the story. And that was one of the numerous pleasures of working with Rodrigo, is that, you know, we both felt like we were working from a similar aesthetic. But yeah, it was a great pleasure.
And what is basically our main character, Glory, she's a prodigy. She's a piano prodigy, and they call her the Brecht of piano.
Yeah.
And what we are experiencing through this novel is a mental breakdown of her.
Yes, that's true. You know, the character of Glory, for me, it came out of a number of different places. I actually studied piano when I was a little girl, and I have a great affinity for, you know, the development of musicians. I'm married to a musician, and my father is a musician. And, you know, those early years of practicing piano have always stayed with me. And I don't know, the instrument of the piano, there's something that's quite mad about it in some ways. I mean, listening to the constant scales, you know, and the repetitions that, you know, a professional pianist has to master. The idea of repetition interested me, and as I realized what the story was actually about, it just felt like a logical piece that her piano playing would be directly contributed to the kind of madness that's inhabiting her world.
And we slowly see her begin to, I don't want to say disintegrate or degenerate, but she's just, we see her mental capacity spiraling downward, but there is this light, and that's Frank, or she calls him Frank.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I actually don't think of this character as being maybe perhaps as crazy as some other people do. You know, I think Glory, a lot of this sense of uncertainty that she's feeling and this creation of, you know, this boyfriend in her life, really for me it comes right out of this relationship that she's had with her mother, you know. And of course her mother died when she was about 7 years old in a motorcycle accident, and that incident has stayed with her, and it stays with her, as you can see throughout the story, in many different ways. It becomes a very textured piece of the narrative, you know, just in the way that you start to see the reiteration of of music, of course, but also, you know, of dandelions, of wind, of wine, certainly, and her mother was a wine distributor. So all of these themes, you know, they're both connected to Frank, but they're also connected to her mother.
I found that very interesting because I kept flipping back and forth. I'm like, I've seen this picture before, or is that the same company?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the great, that was actually a lot of fun. When Rodrigo and I started to realize that there were these sort of subconscious connections that we didn't even realize we had created in the story. And then suddenly, you know, you see something brought to light and you realize that it can be developed and made even more aware for the reader. I mean, this is something that happens in fiction all the time. I mean, fiction writers, we really have no idea what it is that we're writing until we've written it. And then you have to ask yourself the questions of, you know, really what the story is about. And it was a very similar process creating Chopsticks. And I think Rodrigo was the one who suffered more because, you know, I would be making decisions that would change images and he'd have to go back and recreate the moment on the page based on, you know, the new narrative revelation that I'd stumble upon. But yeah, it's all interwoven. It's interesting.
You know, you said you didn't see her as crazy, and neither did I. I really thought Glory was somebody that just, she was getting sick of it all, being constantly pushed by your father to be this perfect concert pianist.
Yes.
And you want a break. You want to be a regular 16, 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and she's just quite isolated. You know, there. You know, you don't ever see other friendships with Glory. I mean, she just has been raised in a very kind of cloistered environment, and Frank for her is the obvious way out. And I really enjoyed kind of the juxtaposition of the two characters. I mean, they just couldn't be more different, you know. But then, you know, you start to see the similarities between them, and then questions arise. And so that was also a lot of fun too.
Yes, I thought that he, you know, they were similar in the sense that he too feels completely isolated and out of place, especially in the boys' prep school where he is
That's
enrolled.
Right. Well, and, you know, I, as a writer, I really enjoy, you know, playing with symbol and metaphor and finding themes and objects and, you know, just sort of various ideas that I can, you know, use to reflect a variety of different concepts. And so, you know, I rarely, enjoy writing the literal thing. I don't consider myself to be a traditional realist in that sense. I enjoy, you know, the various degrees of perception that, you know, that I both as the writer create, and also, you know, I enjoy imagining how the reader might interpret, you know, an object that has perhaps more than one meaning. And certainly writing a, you know, an image-driven book gives you an opportunity to really play with that idea of what a narrative really is. Rodrigo is, of course, just this incredible artist, and so he creates a photograph, and he, even if it's just, you know, a simple photograph of some leaves blowing across the street, it's evoking a mood, it's raising questions in the viewer's mind, they're thinking about the images that have come before and they're anticipating what's to come, but you're allowing the reader to participate in that sense. And I really enjoyed the sort of participatory nature of the book where the reader gets the chance to involve themselves in a story and feel almost as though they're peeking in on someone's private life in a way that perhaps you can't feel, you know, reading a story that's all in text. There's something very private to an image, a personal image. And we really enjoyed kind of trying to capture that quietness, that sense of privacy, to allow the reader to feel as though they're watching something happen as well as imagining something happening.
You absolutely get that sense with the candid photos or even the IM bubbles.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's fun because on the app, you can sort of in real time see the IM conversations appear. So that creates, you know, this additional layer of actually imagining these characters typing these conversations to each other. You know, when you play the video, you can imagine that you yourself are Glory watching this pianist, Joanne Castle, on the Lawrence Welk show in Berlin. And so in some ways, the book presents a context and then delivers a kind of performance that you get to participate in as a reader, which to me felt quite new and exciting.
And we see that Glory's handle is Chopsticks Girl. So what is Frank's?
Oh, Frank used to have a handle, and he was called Boy Wonder for a long time. And then I think we ended up deleting it, and it became purely Glory. We just get Chopsticks Girl. That's right.
Okay.
So, well, you know, because it speaks to the actual, you know, the actuality
theme
of Frank, right? What Frank really is. And so, you know, we there were a couple of places where we felt like we needed to just hold him back a little bit more, you know.
Mm. While Glory excels at the classical music, she does bring in some pop. And I have to say, we have different CD mixes that Frank and Glory have made for each other. And after seeing the one mix, Brand New Key was stuck in my head for the next 2 days. And people were like, yeah. Why are you singing Melanie?
Well, you know, my husband is a music producer, and so I actually went to him a few times to get ideas for songs that, you know, these characters might send to each other. You know, in a lot of ways, there's something very nostalgic about it. I mean, it's a contemporary story, but it also speaks to different historical periods in music, you know, through music, the music itself, which is, you know, something else that you can do in multimedia that you can't do in traditional narrative. And, you know, and so Frank, of course, has this obsession with Argentinian rock music all the way back to the 1960s, you know, and that speaks to this whole era of the development of Argentinian rock, which is called rock nacional. And so, you know, he's actually bringing this whole piece of himself to her through music. And again, you know, it speaks back to Glory's mother, who is, it's never stated explicitly in the book, but she is from South America. You know, her last name is Torres. And so there's a piece of kind of awakening that memory that Glory has of her mother through the music of Frank.
Well, this is an amazing novel and creation. The name of it is Chopsticks. Jessica, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Again, the name of Jessica Anthony and Rodrigo Corral's novel is Chopsticks. It is published by Razorbill. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Yeah.